Hey friends, welcome to It's All Happening with Amanda, a weekly podcast that dives deep into your favorite reality TV shows. With help from my special guests, we break down the most shocking, controversial, and heartfelt moments from Bravo and beyond. In the words of Aviva Drescher, I say what I mean, but I never say it mean. Grab a fancy AF cocktail and get ready for me to mention it all. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of It's All Happening with Amanda. I'm Amanda Page, and today I am joined by none other than my podcast namesake, Sheena Shea. Sheena, thank you so much for being here today. I can't believe it's really all happening.
Yes, it is really all happening. Excited to be here. And yeah, thanks for having me on.
First of all, congratulations on your pregnancy. You are absolutely glowing. I have been dying to talk to you about your fertility journey ever since you got pregnant, and now you're 9 weeks away from delivering. And I'm like, okay, I better get there soon because you're about to be super busy.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. It's coming up so quick. I'm just praying that I do not have her early. I'm fine having her a little late, as long as it's still in time for my newborn photos appointment. But I'm just like, don't come early. Stay in. It's safe in there.
Yes, definitely. So you have been living in San Diego with Brock since the summer, right? But your doctors are in LA. So what has that been like juggling back and forth between the two places?
I mean, I'm so used to the drive already between Palm Springs and LA for the last couple of years. It's the same amount. And since, I mean, Brock and I, gosh, we've been together like a year and a half now. So for, you know, the first 6 months of our relationship, we were doing the trek back and forth. I don't mind a 2-hour drive. So it hasn't been bad. And also my podcast studio's in LA, my family's in LA. It's like whenever I have a doctor's appointment, I just make a whole day out of it. I'll either get together with like a girlfriend or see my parents and just like do something that I can't do in San Diego, like eating at Elefante in Santa Monica is one of my favorite restaurants. And I'm like, I can only get that in LA. So I just try to always make a day out of it instead of just driving up for an appointment and driving straight back.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's probably nice too, after moving to a brand new place, you're like, but I still have to go back to LA. So you still have that connection to LA, which is good. So before we get into all of the fertility journey stuff, I have to say your Hawaii pictures were absolutely stunning. What can you tell us about your trip to Hawaii?
Oh my God. So I have so many more photos that like, I'm going to post some tomorrow. I'm going to spread them out a little more, but there were just so many that I'm like, how do I narrow down how many to post? So thankfully I just started mini Sheena's page so I can post some on there too. But the beginning of our trip, you can see on my vlog last week, it wasn't really what we expected. And I had some people being like, you know, like, stop bitching. You're on vacation. Like, you shouldn't even be traveling right now. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, did I put anyone at risk? No. Did I get COVID? No. We were very safe. We traveled. It's been a year. And yeah, call me spoiled. But you know what? I wanted to be able to take this baby moon. Every year before we would start filming, I would always take a vacation. And now that I'm having a baby, I just felt like, you know, why don't I take a vacation? So it's just something that I've done every year and I really wanted to. And we enjoyed it. The first resort, quote unquote, wasn't what we were expecting. It was basically an Airbnb. And it was like, there wasn't even like a vending machine for me to get a bottle of water. Like we had to like go and drive, and then it's Hawaii. So things shut down early. We're on the North Shore. So I was like, okay, this isn't exactly what I was expecting. So we switched resorts and stayed at Disney Aulani. And that was incredible. Like you would have thought they are paying me for like all of the press I'm giving them. I'm just like, no. I recommend it. This is not an ad. It is just an amazing resort. And I'm going to take my family for Christmas. I can't wait to go back.
Oh, that's so fun. Well, I think, you know, traveling responsibly and doing everything you need to do, getting tested, wearing your mask when you need to. I mean, you're doing it right. There are people who are staying home, meaning staying in their hometown and seeing people and doing things they're not supposed to be doing. So as long as you're following the protocols, I say go for it. Enjoy your baby moon. I know you guys were being safe. And look, you're COVID-free. You're fine. You got tested.
Yeah, we got tested before. We got tested when we got back. I'm getting tested again this week because I have my baby shower on Saturday. And I mean, we're doing all of the right things. So, you know, yeah, was the travel technically unnecessary? Sure. But for my mental state and just as a last little hurrah, it was necessary because I don't know when I'm going to get the chance to travel again. I don't know how it will be to travel with an infant. So I've always been that person when I'm like, it's so funny too, because like my whole perspective of this has changed. There was one day I was on a flight and there was like, it wasn't a baby crying. It was like a toddler having a fit, just being like, I want to go to Disneyland. Nah, nah, nah. And I'm just like, oh my God, thinking to the parents, like, just tell the kid you're going to go to Disneyland and then just lie to them now for the sake of everyone on this plane. And then when you land, then you can tell them like, we're not really going, but for now, just tell them they're going to fucking Disneyland. And so I like tweeted something and I was just like, I think it was something along the lines of like, I wish there were airplanes specifically for like moms and children and then like adults only. Cause like this kid, blah, blah, blah. And then someone responded to me and they're like, you don't know if that child has like Asperger's or this or that. Da, da, da. And then I started to feel bad. So I was like, oh shit. I never thought of it that way, but I was like, but this was a kid just like being a little brat, but you know, you never know why they're acting that way. So I was like, okay, changed my perspective, lesson learned. That's when I'm thankful for the trolls, when they actually teach me a lesson and make me a better person. It's rare, but it does happen. But like now, whenever there's like a crying baby or like a kid having a fit, like on an airplane or in line at the grocery store or something, I'm just like, oh, I feel so bad for the parents because they know how annoying it is to everyone else. So now I'm like, I'm probably going to be that mom one day who just like has a crying baby and feels so bad. And then I'm going to remember to me being an asshole tweeting that 5 years ago. So
I was going to ask about that. Actually, I've noticed that you have been the subject of some internet trolls, I guess we could say. So what are some of the downsides to being pregnant in the public eye?
I mean, just everyone having an opinion and giving their unsolicited advice when I haven't asked for it. That's what's annoying. There have been several times where I have asked for advice when I've, you know, wanted a mom's point of view, especially when it came to like the gestational diabetes test and things like that. I'm like, you know, asking for your opinion, advice, tips, whatever. But then it's like when I just like post one little thing and I have these people like flooding my inbox, like just giving their opinions. I'm like, I didn't ask you. And it's annoying and it's frustrating because sometimes most of the time, it's not just them like trying to help and be nice and whatever. It's them judging and just thinking that I'm stupid. I've had so many people reach out and now I'm 7 months pregnant. Like you might've wanted to reach out, you know, when I got pregnant to let me know I shouldn't change cat litter. 7 months in, like, it's just like, you think I don't know that by now. And it's like, I've had people say that I sound ungrateful or bitchy. And I'm just like, no, it's just people speaking to me as if I'm so dumb that I don't know this already. And I'm like, yeah, when I first got pregnant almost a year ago, last May, I didn't know that about cat litter. One of the questions when I had my first appointment with my OB was, do you have cats? And I'm like, yeah, that's a weird question for my OB to ask. But I found out because they do inform you of that right away. And I had my cousin let me know. I was like, okay, good to know. Got a litter robot. But it's just like little things like that, that people are still like, are telling me, you know, like, oh, you better be careful with your cat. It's going to jump in the crib and suffocate your baby when it smells milk on its breath. And I'm like, my cats have never even smelled milk or drank milk. So like, I'm not worried about that. But it's just like the annoying little things that bother me. But then there's the helpful things. Like the other day, for example, I posted a papaya boat that Brock made with like almond butter and granola and all this fruit and like chia seeds and all this stuff in it. We like created something we had in Hawaii. And I had a few women message me and say that papaya is a fruit that can cause like early labor. and that you're not supposed to eat it like in your third trimester and blah, blah, blah. And so she was like, hi, she's like, I'm not mom shaming. I just want to let you know. And I was like, thank you. That I appreciate. That's the unsolicited advice I want when it's genuinely helping me. And then I researched it. And then I found out I also shouldn't be eating pineapple or grapes. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Apparently grapes in the third trimester is a no-no.
Well, and it makes sense to point it out now. You're in your third trimester and they saw you eating it. So they're warning you. If they saw you cleaning your cat's litter box, then they might want to say something, but out of
nowhere. But it's just like any video I post with my cats, it's like, I'm like, should I get rid of my cats I've had for 11 years? Should I just disown them because I'm pregnant? I'm sure millions of women who have babies have cats. So we'll be just fine. Thank you.
Yes. And your cats are so cute. So that's one thing that I was going to ask you too, is what are some of the benefits of being pregnant in the public eye? Like, what are some things that you get to experience that other people might not be able to, since you're kind of living this with other, you know, with the majority of society watching?
Kind of the same thing, like being able to have access to people from all ages of all around the world, and to be able to get that information when you want it. That is very helpful because, you know, there's like my mom, I can ask her advice. She hasn't been pregnant in decades. Things change, you know, and they're like, well, don't ask strangers for advice, ask your family. And I'm like, yeah, but not everyone in my family has had babies recently and a lot of things change. So it is really nice to be able to, when I ask a question and want that advice, to just at my fingertips in seconds have so much advice coming in. Like, it's just one of those, like, it's like a catch 22. It's like a blessing and a curse. Like, I hate it when I don't ask for it, but when I ask for it, I absolutely love it. So just only give it to me when I ask for it. Or if you see that I am doing something wrong that could harm my baby, don't shame me. Be like the woman who messaged me, like, hey, I just want you to know you probably shouldn't eat that. And I was like, I had no idea. Like, it's whenever I go to my doctor, I always have a list of questions. And I'm like, is there anything I should or shouldn't be doing? He's like, you seem to be doing everything fine. Like, you're good. Why would he think like, oh, by the way, don't eat papaya in your third trimester? Like, I don't think that's on my OB's mind. But this woman who saw that, she found out in her first trimester when she was eating papaya that like she shouldn't. And then now she helped me with that. So I'm like, good to know. Like, those little things are really good to know that I wouldn't have known if I didn't post Brock making that. I probably would have eaten it even more.
So, and it's all about the way people approach you. So if they come 100%. To you respectfully, then of course you're going to be more receptive, but it's the kind of like judgment and attitude, and that must be tiring. I mean, you've been dealing with it for a long time, and you've been so forthcoming with your entire fertility journey, not just being pregnant, but everything that went into it. And we're all so grateful for that, because there's so many women who can learn from your experience. And so I just wanted to say thank you for being so open and honest, and ask, has being so open and honest with your friends and family and everything always been the way that you are? Or has that kind of become, as you've gotten older and you've been in the public eye, you've been more vulnerable in those ways?
No, I think I've pretty much always been an open book. I've never been one to really hide how I feel or lie. I tell it like it is. I am who I am. And it's really hard sometimes. Like, I think I've gotten better at it in my, like, you know, older age, at like biting my tongue and like not inserting myself. I mean, when you watch the show, of course you see all of us inserting ourselves in each other's business, because that's what we do. But in like, just like normal life with my group of friends and stuff, like there's sometimes when I'm like, okay, like I want to correct your grammar, or I want to say this, but I'm just like, just bite your tongue. It's annoying. Like, you don't need to. So as much as I am such an open book, I know when I need to shut up sometimes. And I think I also know the right way to approach certain things with certain people, but I think it just depends on who I'm around. But I try to never hold back, because I mean, if you don't tell people how you feel, then you're not going to get a true reaction, or you're not going to really know what the outcome is and whatnot. So I try to just always put it all out there. And if that means, you know, I look stupid or get hurt, then so be it. Lesson learned, move on, next.
Well, that's one thing I've always appreciated about you, is I feel like if someone's friends with you, they know where they stand with you. They're not like wondering if you're talking behind their back or if you're acting one way to them and acting a different way behind their back, like just knowing where they stand. And so I think that's a really good point. You know, not everybody's the same and some people aren't as good with confrontation, but it can clear up a lot of issues if you just tell it like it is.
Totally. And it's uncomfortable sometimes and it's awkward to have those conversations, but usually it leads to such a better place. Like my best friend, Jamie, and I have only in the 6-7 years we've been friends had one disagreement. And it was uncomfortable because she told me the way I was acting was, I don't remember if it was, I was being selfish or I was being an asshole or just like, whatever it was, it was like a festival a couple years ago. And she expressed how she was feeling and it annoyed the fuck out of me because I knew she was right. And I knew that I wasn't acting and being the best friend that I could possibly be. So I was just like, swallow your pride, apologize, understand where she's coming from, and we've never had an issue again. And now when it comes to any little thing, like we're brutally honest with each other, but we never get offended because I'm like, look, this is how you feel. This is how I feel. And I mean, she's one of the closest people in my life. Like I would be lost without her. She's amazing. But I think it took having that one disagreement and her just having that awkward conversation with me, like, yo, you're being a dick. Stop it. And I'm like, oh, I know you're right. Okay, I'll be better.
But you've always been good at apologizing too. That's the thing. I think that's something that a lot of people could learn from, just to when you were wrong, even if you didn't mean it, just apologize because whether you meant it or not, somebody was upset, you know, by what you said or
totally.
Did.
So. And sometimes even like if someone else just so strongly believes that they're right, like I've gotten to a place where I'm like, I used to be such a competitive person. I don't need to win all of the time now. Just for the sake of the argument and just moving on, I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Let's move on. And it just let them win. It's just so much easier sometimes because it's like, I don't have the energy to prove why I'm right. I know I'm right. You know, deep down I'm right. But like, for the sake of this, I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm sorry. I apologize. It won't happen again. It is so much easier to just admit when you're wrong and to move on. Because who's going to be mad at someone who admits they're at fault and apologizes?
You can't argue with that. You can't. Yeah. You just have to accept it. We won't tell Brock you said that, though.
No, he even knows. Sometimes I'm like, okay, like the littlest things. It'll be like about something like political or something on the news or whatever. And he's like, but do you understand where I'm going? I'm like, yes. You're right. He's like, no, I'm like, I'm not going to fight with you. I'm saying, I understand where you're coming from. You're right. Move on. Like, why do you want to have this argument? Like, I get what you're saying. And it's like, sometimes he wants me to like fight back with him, but I'm like, no, honey, I genuinely understand your point of view. I agree. That's all.
You don't have to give him what he wants. Just. So how has your relationship with Brock changed since you were able to get pregnant? So now you are pregnant and you guys are going to be parents together. So how would you say it's changed your relationship?
I think it's brought us closer. We're very excited. I mean, going through the loss was really hard for both of us. We dealt with it in very different ways. But getting pregnant again so quickly and just, you know, once we kind of got in that safe zone, although I still, at 31 weeks, I don't feel like you're ever fully in a safe zone. Like until that baby is out crying and breathing. And even then, like things always could happen in this fucking world. So it's like, it's just part of being a mom, you know, and you just have to accept that you're going to now, I mean, I already am a worrywart, but I'm just going to worry about this child for the rest of my life. 35 years old, my mom still worries about me. So I think once we kind of got past that and were able to get excited, it's just brought us even closer. And just getting the nursery together and all of that, it's been fun. So next up, we got to move to LA in a couple weeks. And he's really excited about that, which I'm glad because I wasn't like, oh my God, I can't wait to move back. I'm like, I love our life in San Diego, but I'm like, you know what? My doctor, the hospital, my work, if he's playing rugby, like my family, all of this is in LA. So he's got me excited to move back, because I think if he wasn't excited about it, it would be a much harder transition for us. But he's really excited, so I'm excited. And I think we just bounce that excitement off each other.
That's awesome. I mean, I can just see you both are just so excited. And I know going through these life changes can either make or break a couple. And it seems like it really did bring you guys close together. And you both have been so open and honest about how the miscarriage, you handled it differently. And I really appreciated that about Brock when you did your podcast episode and he admitted, you know, I wasn't there for you the way I should have been. And he said it, you know, he was open mm-hmm. about that. And I think that those are the things that can really teach you as a couple, what's important to each, you know, how to help each other and how to grow together. And I'm just so happy for both of you. I'm so excited
for you. Yeah. And it's like, now we've been together like almost a year and a half, but when we were going through all of this, it's like, I mean, we were still very much in a new relationship. Then we're living together. We're in a pandemic. I'm going through a miscarriage. Like, those are a lot of things that can test your relationship. And the fact that, you know, we were able to get through that and just be even happier and come out stronger has just been such a blessing, because I think that a lot of couples might not have been able to get through that given the situation at hand.
Absolutely. I think about that for my relationship. You know, I've been trying to get pregnant for almost 2 years. And I think a lot of couples who go through that kind of experience, they don't make it out on the other side, because it's not easy, but mm-hmm. you know, it really does teach you kind of how to be the best supportive partner and what your partner needs and what you need. And so it's good that you guys were able to get through that together.
Yeah.
I want to back up to the beginning of your journey. So before you were pregnant, you actually made the choice to freeze your eggs. And I think a lot of people don't really know the whole process of what went into that decision. Cause so many people freeze their eggs for different reasons. Some people are just mm-hmm. like, I'm getting older and I want to do it. I'm still single. Some people are like, I know I want to experience motherhood, but I have a huge career. I can't do it right now. So what was the actual, like, what went into your decision to freeze your eggs?
When I was married, I went just to check my fertility, just to see, cause I don't know why, but ever since I was really young, like probably like 12 years old, I just always had a feeling that I would have trouble getting pregnant one day. When I got my first period, it lasted for months. Like, I was like heavily bleeding, blood clotting, like losing a lot of blood. Nothing would regulate it other than putting me on birth control at 12 years old, which stunted my growth right at the beginning of puberty. And I think just from like that age, I always like worried, like, okay, if I'm on birth control at 12 years old, like, is this something that's going to affect me having kids down the road? So fast forward 10, 15 years, you know, I'm in my mid 20s. I was like, you know, if I do want to have a family one day, I should probably just look into this. So I think it was like 2015. I was already married. I knew we were in no place to have children anytime soon. So I was like, it's probably going to be a few more years. I should just go get checked. So I went to Southern California Reproductive Centers, which is where I ended up also freezing my eggs, and got my fertility levels checked. Or actually, they didn't check my blood levels. They just looked at my ovaries and whatnot. And the doctor said one of my ovaries was diminished. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I freaked out. And he was like, well, I had trouble locating it, like, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like, I think you'll be fine. Whatever he says, I don't remember. So I then went to my normal OB and had her do the same like ultrasound test. And she was like, you know what? She goes, no two organs are the exact same size. Yes, like your one ovary is slightly smaller. It was a little harder to find, but you have two. I think you can have kids with just one ovary as well, if I'm correct. So she was like, there's nothing to worry about, you know, no rush. And I was like, okay, cool. So I knew that. And then go through a divorce, and then I get in a new relationship, and then that blows up in my face. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to date again for a while. So now here I am, 33 years old, and I'm just like, I'm not going to get back into anything anytime soon. All guys suck. I'm over it. I was like low-key dating a girl when I met Brock. Like, I was just over men. So
we need to come back to that at the end of this conversation.
So when he who not shall not be named and I broke up, you know, I moved to Vegas, I do my show, and I just knew that I wasn't in a place where I was going to have kids anytime soon. So when I got back from Vegas, I went and saw a different doctor at SCRC and got my blood levels checked because I heard there was a blood test to check your fertility. And when he called me, he was just like, I'm concerned because your levels are like abnormally low for your age. Like at 33, I should have been between 1.4 and 4.2 for AMH levels. And I was at like, I think it was like 0.36 or 0.25. I forget exactly what it was, but way under 1.4. So he's like, I highly recommend you freezing your eggs as soon as possible. This is not a number that can ever go up. It can be genetic. It doesn't necessarily mean because I was on birth control for 20 fucking years, but he said, this isn't a level that goes up with age. It will only decrease. So I do recommend you coming in ASAP. So I did that. I did the first round. We got 12 eggs, but only 9 were mature. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. You know, 9 babies. And he's like, yeah, but these are eggs. These aren't embryos. And until you fertilize them, which God knows how long that's going to be, we won't know that these are even viable. I recommend doing a second round. And I'm like, okay, well, that was just a lot on my body. I'm not like the biggest drinker or anything by any means, but after 50 days of being sober, I wanted to smoke some weed and have some drinks. So I was like, I'm going to take a little time off, enjoy my birthday. We were getting ready to film again. I was like, I don't know that I want to do this again right away. Let's wait a few months. But then I decided waiting longer, it's not going to make anything better. So you know what? I may as well do it. So I did the second round. We got 7. So I now have 16. And I was honestly considering doing a third round with Brock, but doing embryos. So I remember seeing on an episode of Kardashians, Khloe froze her eggs, but then she was thinking about freezing embryos. And I was like, okay, well, what if I do that? You know, just being pessimistic, what if it doesn't work out? I don't want to fertilize all of these that I have. So what if we just do a third round? So then I have the option, I still have eggs, then we have embryos, and then we kind of know if my eggs are even good. And as I'm now sober again, getting ready to prep my body for that is when I found out I was pregnant. That was crazy.
It's really wild when you think about it. I mean, explain how your doctor explained it to you, because if you have low AMH, that means, you know, you are maybe running out of time, but I guess that you're still producing eggs. So conceiving unassisted was not out of the picture, but I guess you, in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I probably won't get pregnant on my own because I'm doing all of this to freeze my eggs. How could this happen? And it happened twice.
Yeah. He said that, you know, it wasn't that it was impossible. He didn't say there's a 0.00% chance you can ever get pregnant on your own. He just said it was less likely and, you know, could maybe require further treatments or, you know, trying for a longer time. He was like, you know, you don't seem like you're like, not to be rude, but he knew I was very single at the time. He's like, you know, you don't seem like you're really in a place in your life where you're going to want to settle down. So, you know, and he just said that that it was probably not the best chance I had at getting naturally pregnant. And then I did. And, you know, unfortunately that didn't work out, but I do think that that was my body's way of letting me know that this was something I 100% wanted, which I was never fully sure about until that moment. I am not like the person who wants to hold your baby or babysit your kids or play make-believe or anything like that. I'm not a kids person. So I froze my eggs just hoping that one day I would change my mind and I would have that backup plan. Because you would never regret doing it. You would regret not doing it. Being 42 years old and being like, why didn't I do that when I was 33? When I had the chance, the opportunity, the money to do it, like, why didn't I do it? So I knew I would only regret not doing it. And it wasn't hard on my body whatsoever. I didn't mind the shots, the hormones. Like it, after I was done, I was like, oh, that's it. Like I could totally do this again. And I did. And I was getting ready to do it a third time. I know not everyone had that same experience, but for me, it was rather easy and I enjoyed it. But knowing that I had that as a backup plan, I think maybe just took some extra pressure off my body. I don't know. I've been on the prenatals and DHA and DHEA and CoQ10 and all of these vitamins for a couple of years now, that may have helped as well. But I think when we went through the miscarriage, that was just really like my body's way of letting me know, and this baby letting me know, like, you do want to be a mom. Like, this is what you want. Like, didn't work out for me, but you know, like, that baby made the way for this one, because this baby wouldn't be here if that didn't happen. So it was like this like fucked up blessing in disguise sort of thing that I'm thankful that, you know, I was able to get pregnant naturally. Don't know if it'll happen again, but it was a lot to process, that's for sure.
Yeah. And it sounds like you were able to really imagine your life as a parent when you got pregnant. And so maybe you just needed that extra time to kind of like figure out like, okay, what is this going to look like? I wasn't planning this right now. And now, you know, this is what you really want. And you and Brock are so happy, and you went through so much in your relationship. It, like you said, it only made you stronger. So I think that's great. And I know that my friend Mandy, who's the host of the podcast, Is This Real Life? She's going through her egg freezing process, and she reached out to you and you gave her some advice about vitamins and stuff. So what advice would you give? What advice would you give to women that are currently going through? I mean, I'm about to start my injections on Friday, so I'm like freaking out a little bit. Like, what should I know? Yeah. What do I need to know?
Just know, like, you just have to remind yourself the end goal, and just know that it is so worth it. Even if it's hard getting there, like, being a mom is hard. I mean, that's what I was telling myself. I'm like, you know what? This isn't for right now, but it's the best backup plan and insurance plan that you could do. And I highly recommend to anyone. I mean, it is expensive, but if you know that you do want to be a mom one day, it's one of those things that you should invest in. You're investing in your future. And I think it is worth every dollar I spent on every injection, every bruise and poke. It was so worth it, because had I not been able to get pregnant naturally, and maybe I won't be able to again, I know that I have, you know, hopefully 16 viable eggs. And then that kind of freaks me out too, because I'm like, okay, well, what do I do with the rest of them? Like, what if they're all good? Like,
yeah, it's a decision
you throw them away.
Yeah, it's a decision you have to make. Like, a lot of people don't realize it, but you know, you have to fill out these, you'll have to do it if you end up making embryos, where you have to fill out paperwork with Brock. What do we do? What are we going to do with these in the event that we break up? Like, you have to decide that. I was like, if you leave me, I get to keep the embryos. But if I leave you, then I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Then they're up for grabs. We'll split them 50-50.
But it's like, those are the real life conversations that people have to go through that most people don't. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot, you know? So,
I mean, just being single with the paperwork I had to fill out, I said in the event of my death or anything happening to me, my mom and sister have full say of what happens. I said, if I die and there's a woman who needs an egg and mine's good, donate it. If you like, it's your decision. But I just said, I'm fine with whatever you guys decide. If God forbid something were to happen to me, like, I'm gone. I don't care. Do what you need to do with them.
That is the most kind thing. The women who donate their eggs and couples who donate their embryos are like literally angels on earth. I don't think I'm going to need anything like that, but I know people who have used donors, and like, that is just such a kind thing to do. I know for some people it's not the right decision for them, you know, which makes sense, but just knowing that, I mean, that just speaks to the kind of person that you are, though. Really, truly, it really does. And it's like, you know, that you would want that if you were in that position. So to be able to give that to other people, you know. But
totally,
that's not going to happen. You're not going to go die. You're going to use the embryos and have lots of babies.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, maybe we get pregnant again naturally. And then, you know, I'm going to be 36 in May. So maybe say 38, we have another. And then at 40, we're like, we want another. But what if I had to have a partial hysterectomy or something with a second one? What if I can't get pregnant again on my own? We have the option of getting a gestational surrogate. Like, there's just so many options out there when you do these type of fertility treatments. And that's why I'm just like such an advocate for it. And I highly recommend it to anyone who can't afford it. There are places like SCRC who does amazing payment plans. And you know what? So what? You're paying it off the rest of your life. You know, most people are paying off their mortgage for the rest of their life too. It's a kid. It's something you want to have for the rest of your life. So it's definitely something to invest in when it's your future and it comes to having a family.
Absolutely. And definitely be an advocate for yourself with your insurance company, because I know some people who are able to get their medications covered, even if they couldn't get the treatments covered. So making sure, like, if you're listening and you're unsure, look into your insurance plan, see if you can switch to a state insurance plan. There are some states like Maryland, it's a mandatory coverage state. So they have to cover certain fertility things. That's how I was able to get.
That's amazing.
I know, it should be like that everywhere. It really should.
Yeah, like infertility should be something that is covered under insurance. These type of procedures, like when it's my case and it wasn't technically like medically necessary, then yeah, you pay out of pocket, like plastic surgery, you know? But when it's something that is medically necessary, like infertility is something that is just like, it's like frowned upon and it's not looked at as the same as having any sort of disease or disorder. And it's like, but some people are just born that way and you can't do anything about it. So why does insurance that you pay? I mean, I think I pay $600 a month for my fucking Platinum Blue Shield California insurance. Like, yet I'm still paying $12,000 to freeze my eggs. What's wrong with this picture?
When you get that bill and you're like, what am I paying $600 a month for? I don't understand. Right?
Yeah. Thankfully, I've found the clinics that do free rapid tests with insurance, because I at least feel like I'm getting something out of my insurance by being able to get a free COVID test every other week. But yeah, it's just like, I want to use it for as much as possible because I'm paying for it. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. So in terms of like, okay, I've watched all of your story highlights, because if you're listening to this and you're either going through IVF or egg freezing, or you're thinking about it, on Sheena's Instagram, you can go look at the egg freezing highlights and you can watch her do her injections by herself. She did the acupuncture and everything. So would you recommend someone going through acupuncture and kind of doing that process along with egg freezing? Is that something that you think was really helpful for you?
100%. It was something that the doctor recommended, and it can also help you produce more eggs and it can help sustain pregnancies. So definitely go to someone who specializes in fertility treatments. But that was one thing that I think has helped me so much with this pregnancy. And I mean, the last one too, it just, you know, the baby wasn't healthy. But I've gone twice a week, every week since I've been pregnant. And I just know that that has helped this pregnancy be so much easier. And it's something that I recommend, your doctor recommends. You just have to go to the right person and be consistent. If you go once a month or here and there, like, you're probably not going to see the same results. But if you consistently go once or twice a week, it can, like I said, help even sustain a pregnancy in a first trimester.
That's awesome. It seems like you've been feeling great. Like, you're really active. I saw you working out earlier on Instagram, and Brock seems to be your little workout coach now. So
yeah.
Do you have any advice for women who are pregnant? How can they stay active? Like, what are some simple things they can do?
I think honestly, you really just need to listen to your body. I didn't work out for the first 15 weeks. I was terrified of anything happening, doing one crunch or one squat that was gonna just do anything. So from the miscarriage up until I was 15 weeks pregnant, there was probably like, it was like almost a 4 month span. I didn't even lift more than 5 pounds of anything. Like, I was terrified. But then once we got to like 14 weeks, we did our reveal. Then I'm at 15 weeks. I start getting my energy back. I was able to breathe again. I was so short of breath my entire first trimester. I could barely walk up my stairs without getting like so winded. It was just like, it was really bad. It was just hard to breathe all of the time. There were like fires going on, so the air quality was terrible. So I'm like, you know, now's not the time to work out. But at about 15, 16 weeks, I started getting my energy back. I got back to doing Zoom workouts with Seth. And I just felt so good. And I still have that energy. I am noticing a slight bit of fatigue in the third trimester, which I know is very normal. But until like my doctor says you're on bed rest, or I feel like I can't get up because I'm just too big, I'm trying to stay as active as possible because I know it'll help me in like labor and delivery and just in what they call the fourth trimester, just recovering after. So I think it is very important to stay active, but it's more important to just listen to your body, because even when I'm doing my workouts, like Brock is a little harder on me than Seth because he is just Brock and that's how he is. But I have to remind him, I'm like, honey, but remember I'm pregnant. So if I'm getting a little out of breath, he's like, no, we need to get your heart rate up. I'm like, only a little bit, not too much. Like Seth is trained in prenatal. So like, you know, like I've learned a lot from him of how to train if I'm working out on my own. And so that's been helping when he's unavailable or when I just want someone in person to correct my form and I don't want to do it over Zoom and I work out with Brock, it's helped as well. But you just really have to listen to your body and just know when to stop. You don't have to do 15 or exactly 20 reps of this. If after, you know, 8, you're starting to feel like, ooh, that's too much, then just stop. So right. That's my advice.
And not to compare yourself to other people. Cause like, I'm sure, you know, your friend Crystal, who's pregnant and she's like super into fitness, mm-hmm. what she's doing might be different than what you're doing because she was working out differently before you were pregnant, you know? So you have to kind of keep your personal, you know, what your comfort level is in mind. So that makes sense. Has she
definitely
given birth yet? Has she had her baby, Crystal?
No, we're a week apart.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Yeah. And what about Stacy? You have like so many pregnant friends. It's so funny.
Yeah, Stacy, she had her baby 5 weeks early. And then I have like 6 other friends who are pregnant right now. I had 2 others who had babies. And then I have 2 who are due after me. So it's like, I know like 4 people due in April and then 1 in May, 1 in June or 2 in May. Now I just found out my friend Christine Quinn is also pregnant.
I saw that. So interesting.
I'm like, what? Yeah. There's so many pregnant people around. It's crazy, but it's also the best time ever to be pregnant because there's no FOMO. Nobody got to go to Coachella last year. Nobody gets to go this year. It's not just me missing out. It's everybody.
You're like, okay, I can't go to Coachella, so I guess I'll have a baby. I don't know what else to do around here.
Perfect time to be pregnant.
It's nice too, because with COVID, you know, you have to be careful who you're around and big play groups and stuff like that. But if you're friends and you know that they've been safe and you've been safe and you're getting regularly tested, then you're able to introduce your babies to each other in a more safe environment because you're not going to be going to like huge mommy and me classes like you would pre-COVID, you know? So it's good that you have so many people around. I wanted to talk to you about your relationship with your mom because she is like the sweetest person ever. I follow her on Instagram and she's like your biggest fan. And also it seems like you guys are really close, like really good friends. So
yeah.
When your baby girl arrives, what is like one way that you hope to be like your mom as a mom?
I mean, God, she's just the best mom. I could go on all day about it. I mean, just anything I need, like she has just always been there, just so hands-on, so attentive. And that's what I'm most excited about being back in LA is being able to be so close to her. Because she'll be basically living with us for the first bit of it. I mean, she lives only like 30, 40 minutes from where our new place is. But I'm like, I want you like staying with me for like the first like week or two. Like, obviously, yeah, go home, check on your dog, check on your husband, you know, love my dad, but he works full time. My mom fortunately works for me full time. So the fact that I, you know, get to have her full time will just be so much help because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm hoping this maternal instinct just kicks in, but I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
It's in there. Yeah, you'll get it, but she'll be helpful. And she's probably elated that you want the help. Some people don't want their moms around. They're like, leave me alone, mom. I got this. You know, everybody's different.
I mean, I'm sure she'll probably drive us a little crazy, but it will also be so much help, whether it's, you know, making dinner or letting Brock and I make dinner and she's, you know, feeding the baby or changing the diapers or whatever. Like, I don't really know what to expect. I'm like not going into this with like a birth plan and like, okay, and then at 2 weeks I need to do this and this and that. I'm just like, I'm just going to try and just go with the flow and whatever happens, happens. But knowing that I have my mom and sister able to be there to help me will just be amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And your sister's pretty young, right? She's like significantly
23.
Younger. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's pretty young. So you probably were like a little bit, I mean, you were a big sister to her, obviously, but you probably helped take care of her when you were younger, right? Like you were like the babysitter.
I really didn't.
You didn't?
No, my mom never asked any of that of me. She wanted me to just live my life. And she never wanted me to feel like I had to stay home or miss out on something to babysit. So she really never asked that of me. I mean, I enjoyed having like a baby to play with, but it was great that it was never like, okay, well, dad and I are going out tonight, so you have to stay home with your sister. There was not, I don't think, one time that ever happened. And when she started kindergarten, I started college.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like, it was fun because I kind of felt like I was like the young mom when I would like come to her school and like pick her up and stuff. But then once she like got into high school, we started to get a lot closer, especially when it was like Hannah Montana and Jonas Brothers and like things like One Direction, like things that like we both had like genuine interests in. And like, it just made us so much closer. And now I wouldn't even know that there's 12 years between us because I think she keeps me really young and she's extremely mature for her age. So we kind of like balance out at about like 28. It's great.
Yeah. Like when you said that you were in college when she was in kindergarten, that blows my mind because I knew she was younger than you, but I didn't realize it was that big of a difference because you seem so close. You would have thought you grew up living together. Like it's interesting. Yeah. You barely like even lived together if you think about that.
No, we were both only children pretty much like growing up. So, I mean, my mom had her when I was in eighth grade. And then, you know, like I started high school when she was a baby. So she was a baby and a toddler when I was in high school. And then, yeah, she started kindergarten. I started college and I didn't live at home anymore. So we both pretty much were spoiled only children.
I know you're super excited about this baby and she's not even here yet, but are you thinking ahead to a second child in terms of like, would you like to have two girls? Like, do you love having a sister and you want that? Or do you want to have a boy? What do you think?
I know Brock would love to have another boy, but I don't know. I see him as such a girl dad. Like I have a feeling even the name we have that we're saving for our boy, even if we have another girl, she's getting that name. I love like unisex names for girls. But yeah, I don't know. I genuinely felt like the first baby was a boy. I just had such a strong feeling. I had psychics and Reiki energy tell me that it was a male energy. And I really felt like that was a boy. So I feel like if we get pregnant again and it's a boy, I think that that's that energy coming back to me. And if not, then, you know, they have that big brother energy just looking out after them. But I could totally see us having another girl too. And I told Brock, I go, you do realize, I had to explain this to him. I'm like, did you not take like human anatomy 101? I'm like, bro, you got an X and a Y chromosome. I have two X's. No matter what, I get a girl. You choose to give me a boy or a girl. And he was like, wait, so that's how, I'm like, yes, dude. That's like back in the day, you know, when like they would like kill like their children if like they didn't have like sons to like, you know, take the reign and all of that. I'm like, you're the one determining this. They didn't know that shit back then. But it's like the male determines whether you have a boy or a girl. And I don't know. I feel like Brock he's just such a man that I could just see him just giving me all girls.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are it's all girl families and I love their dads. They're like the sweetest people. Like, you know, I don't know. I love the idea of an all girl dad. I think that would be so great. But of course, if you have a boy, that would be great too. I've heard that there's like ways that you can try to help depending on timing, et cetera. Yeah,
and I mean, and if we, you know, don't get pregnant again naturally, then we can choose, you know, if we do IVF and we have healthy embryos of each, then, you know, we can make that decision then. But then it's like, but how do you decide? You have a healthy boy and a healthy girl, and then you just leave the girl. Like, do you try for both? Do you do twins? Like, I don't know, but I mean, definitely open to at least one more. twins also do run in my family. So if we get pregnant again naturally, there's a very, very good chance it could be twins because it hasn't skipped a generation. My grandpa's a twin, my aunt's a twin, and all of us cousins, no one's had twins yet. And I just always had a feeling I was either going to have trouble getting pregnant or I was going to have twins. And it could be both.
You know what? Maybe I have seen a vision of you having twins because I told you before that I feel like I'm a little bit psychic and I know you believe in that stuff. There was like a couple weeks ago that I cracked an egg and there were two yolks and it like means twins. And I've been wondering like, who's it going to be? And again, I don't think it's going to be me because I'm doing IVF. So like you would know if you were doing that, but maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one.
Maybe.
Who's gonna have
to- yeah. And it's a very good possibility. Especially because none of us cousins have had twins yet. So it's like, who's it going to be? Like, or now is it skipping a generation because it didn't? So I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I'll be looking out. Well, I'm so excited for you and I can't wait to see pictures from your baby shower. Can you share any details of like the theme or anything, or will that all be public later?
It'll be a surprise to me in public later. Yes. My mom and sister have taken the reins on this. They are planning everything. I know the theme is similar to the nursery. So it's going to be like muted, like pink, like rose gold tones and like rainbows and unicorns. But, the only thing that I've really seen and picked out are the cake pops, which are little like unicorn heads. And then my mom has like given me little sneak peeks of things. She's making these. I'll show you. She sent me these last night. She's like, how cute are these? It's these rainbow fruit skewers. So I know we're doing that. And then the other thing I said is it's my baby shower. We're having a taco person. Like a person, tacos.
I thought you meant like someone dressed as a taco. Oh my God, those are so cute. And it looks a rainbow.
Yeah. So we're doing that.
You have, if you're listening to this and it's after the shower, you'll have to go on Sheena's Instagram or vlog and you'll see a picture of the fruit skewers. They're so cute.
Yeah. But yeah, I said, except my reveal, we did a bunch of like little like light bites. We did like a charcuterie board and like sandwiches and like all of the food that pregnant women can't eat. So it was like our vision for it. I mean, my mom and sister also planned that, but it was like, yeah, let's have like a big charcuterie board and then we'll have little sandwiches over here and then we'll have this and that. And then I'm like, but what do I eat? Because like, I can't eat any of these meats or cheeses or sandwiches or deli meat or any of that. So for this, I was like, all right, I have a few pregnant friends coming. Anyone who knows me knows I will never pass up a good taco. So it is an all girls shower. So I was like, okay, well, let's get a taco lady. And she was so sweet. She's getting tested. We're having everyone tested before they come to the shower. And I also am picking up some rapid tests to have on site in case anyone either wasn't able to get tested, didn't get their results in time, or is worried. We'll have some of those on site. So we're being extra safe. But that's really all I know about it. I don't know what games we're playing. I don't know what the prizes really are. But I know my mom and sister are amazing at planning and it's going to be so much fun. And then we have a second one with my family. So I get spoiled. I get two showers.
That's the time of COVID because everyone's like, well, we can't have too big of a party. So we'll just have multiple parties. You'll have five weddings, three baby showers.
Yeah, I'm like, I have it with my mom's side and then my close friends. And then we'll have another one with my dad's side and my close friends who can't make it to the first one.
That's good. So you got to give everybody
the
families
separate and
That's awesome. Well, before you go, I do want to ask you about your LA move. Cause I know that everybody's like dying to know. So is this like a permanent thing? Are you staying for a little while? Are you going to be back in San Diego? What's your plan?
So we're not getting rid of our place in San Diego. We did sign a year lease. I love it down here. Brock still owns the gym down here, although he's not had to be in there as much like hands-on for the past couple months because he's working on getting back into rugby and with his Homebody live training fitness app. So LA is ideally we would like to have a place in both like long-term forever. Will it be the place we're moving into in a couple weeks? Probably not. That is a lease we're signing for the rest of the year, but I mean, yeah, it would be ideal to have a dream place in LA. We have our dream place here. I already have my dream vacation house, and to just have three houses. That's my goal. But LA is always going to be home for me. That's where my family is. That's where, you know, my job and studio and doctors and everything are. We just found an amazing pediatrician there. I don't mind the drive. So I would like to permanently split our time between the two. And then, you know, when it comes time that we need to find a school district, it's like, okay, well now where do we decide that? Brock right. wants to do half a year in New Zealand and half a year in California. So that's an option too. But for
that
now,
would be amazing.
Yeah, LA will be definitely, yeah, for the rest of the year in the place that we're moving into. And then we'll go from there. But I know the place we're moving into is great for now. It's not great for long-term, but LA will always be long-term.
That's exciting. That's so good. Yeah. I'm so happy for you. I know that, you know, you've moved a lot. A lot's changed in the last year, but it seems like it's just all really good. And I want everyone to know where they can kind of watch your journey. So I know you have your podcast, which is awesome. And you have guests come on and you talk about different things, but your vlog, I think, is like the best place to really see you, right? To like 100%. See your real life and your real friends and your family and your life. So are you going to continue vlogging when the baby comes? I think we're all curious
yes,
about that.
Definitely. I mean, I'm hoping that we're still able to get weekly content. It may be the same weekly content, just me at home with the baby, which I know some people will love and some people will probably hate. But we already have like the next five vlogs lined up almost up until I'm going to give birth. So once we have the baby, I mean, that's probably when I'll have like my sister and Justice come over and help us like film more, because it'll probably be harder to do just that on my own. But I fully plan on weekly documenting everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, because that's why I do what I do. You know, I want to be able to relate to people and for people to know that like they're not in this alone, that I get it. And that's why I've been such an open book and I put it all out there, because I feel like if one person can relate to my story, which I know it's been more than one, it's been thousands, millions, who knows, if one person can get something out of me sharing my life, then I feel like I'm genuinely doing my job.
You really are. And we're all so grateful. And I really appreciate you taking your time to come on and talk to me and have all my listeners hear more about you and your life and catch up. So where can people find your vlog? Like, where can they subscribe? Like, how do we get on this list? Tell everybody.
It's just youtube.com/Sheana, S-C-H-E-A-N-A. My name is very difficult to spell, but it looks cool on paper. So I thank my mom for that. Actually, my grandpa, he came up with the spelling. I guess it's Russian, but it's cool.
I love it. Yeah, it's so pretty. I don't think I've ever heard of another Sheana. And you're just Sheana on Instagram, right? Like just at Sheana.
Yes. And I just found out three women have named their daughters after me, which is so crazy and so cool. I'm like, they're going to have a difficult time their whole life with that spelling, but that'll be cool.
But that's such a nice compliment. Like, you know, there are some people I would never name my baby after.
Yeah.
I won't definitely say who, but I would name my baby Sheana. That sounds like.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And we're so excited to see what's next for you.
Yes. You're so good at doing this. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Sheana.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening to It's All Happening. Remember to subscribe to my podcast and leave a 5-star review. If you have nothing nice to say, my DMs are always open. Please follow me on Instagram at It's All Happening X and on Twitter at happening_pod. Until next time.